This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by smart local union 9 sheet metal workers.
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay, and we are The Drive. And I asked the question, and it's getting to be an all too familiar question. What's the plan at quarterback here in Denver? We had some shaking and moving over the weekend that I want to talk about that is, like, fascinating. But even since we've been on the air, we actually had more quarterback news, if I'm not mistaken.
More quarterback drama.
The 49ers have agreed to a deal with quarterback Josh Dobbs, who we saw this past year be one of the really big stories of the NFL season in Minnesota.
Good stories.
Very much so. Very much so. He is going to San Francisco, and it feels like almost every available quarterback has been gobbled up, and the Broncos just are sitting on their hands. Got the draft coming up next month. We know Stidham's in the fold, and it's all quiet on the Broncos front, man. A little too quiet.
Yeah, Zach, I'm not understanding it. I'm not getting it right now, truly. I'm looking at things like they, you know, Sean thinks that Jarrett Stidham is the guy, obviously. That's what it's looking like. You know, they're going to draft a young one. In the dark horse, it looks like it's Ben DiNucci. Like, you know, is someone like Ben DiNucci going to compete with Jarrett Stidham in camp? Like, are we just going to let Jarrett Stidham have a comfortable camp where he's like, this young quarterback that they're bringing in is going to try to compete with me, but I know that this system is hard, so it's going to take some time for him, so I got all this time to shine. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
No, it really doesn't. I hope that's the last time we bring up Ben DiNucci's name. No disrespect to the young man. No disrespect to the young man.
I heard he was battling out there, though, Zach.
Dude.
At camp.
Ben DiNucci, his quarterback record is 0-1-0, okay? He's played in 3 games ever. He's had less than 50 passing attempts, but that's actually not too different than Stidham.
Ooh.
Stidham's played in 4 games ever, and I don't know what the plan is. I'm guessing it's going to be that they're going to draft a quarterback next month. I don't know if that's going to be the quarterback at 12. There's just this assumption right now that, well, of course they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, but it might be the 5th quarterback that comes off the board. And maybe that's the one that Sean loves the most, is the one that is going to go last. Maybe.
You would think they're going to move up now. You would think they would try to be aggressive and move up to get the quarterback that they love, if Sean loves any of them. He can't love them all, Zach. He can't love them all.
No, that's where I can't go either.
It's not The Bachelor.
No. And I can't go there. That, hey, Sean's just going to draft whichever one is left at 12. That's just not good. That's not good football business. And so it's like, what are they going to do? And when I see Justin Fields this weekend, I mean, we've been talking about, you know, Justin Fields and where he's going to end up. And, like, the fact that he went for a 6th-round pick, you would ask me for, like, a month. I'm like, just not a good fit here in Denver with Sean Payton's timing-based offense. Low, he's of talent, and he's fun and exciting to watch. Not a good fit here. But when I see him go for a 6th pick, I was answering those questions on the premise that he was going to be going for a 2nd rounder, which was reported.
At least a 3rd or a 3rd and a 5 or something like that. Jerry Jeudy was getting more than Justin Fields.
Dude, and you know how much Fields' salary is? $1.3 million.
Vet minimum, pretty much.
Yeah. So it's like he didn't cost anything to acquire, and he doesn't cost anything once he gets here financially on your books. He'd be one of the cheapest contracts you have. You don't have to make a decision on his 5th-year option until May, and you can just not pick it up, and he's still under team.
I don't think the Steelers are going to do it.
No, they're not. They're not. So it's like, I know how I answered the question, but seeing what the compensation actually was, it's like, man, you couldn't have like brought him in here for a 6th-round pick at the quarterback position. Even if you used them like Taysom Hill, which there's already a precedent for Sean Payton using someone that.
I would be mad and upset if a month from now we get an update saying that the Denver Broncos traded or whatever the case may be for Taysom Hill. I'd be upset because it's like you have a younger version and a better version of someone like Justin Fields, who I think is – like, I don't think you use him as a Taysom Hill. I think he could be a quarterback, a starting quarterback in this league. He has been.
Yeah.
You know, so he knows he can do it. He just needs a coach that believes in him, that loves him. Put some weapons around him. The Bears went and put a weapons around whoever's going to come next, but then do the same with Justin Fields, which is a head-scratcher in itself.
Yeah.
Right? For someone like Sean, you're so confident in this draft with drafting a quarterback, and you say that you believe that you guys have an advantage over other teams because how you guys think of the quarterback position.
Right.
You didn't fix Russ, okay? If you could go and get someone like Justin Fields, who has all the talent, has the arm strength, you know, can run and just needs a little bit of loving and maybe some coaching, which that's what your job is to be, is a coach, and you don't pick him up, then, like, are you just stuck in your ways? Has time passed you by that you just want somebody so bad that just fits your system that you're willing to give up good players around you?
You know, this is what Sean Payton said a month ago.
Sometimes it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. And then sometimes, listen, it's very difficult. And so I think we'll be really good at this. And I think to some degree we're glad that a lot of people aren't.
When he said that, now that stopped a lot of us in our tracks. When he said that, and I'm just asking the question, what was he thinking? Who was on his mind? What avenue did he have in his own mind that he felt comfortable enough to say that? And I think he was thinking about J.J. McCarthy at that time. And over the last month, McCarthy's stock has blown up like 1998 Microsoft, and now you don't have a shot at him. And how easy is it going to be now? And if you do think you still have a shot, and that means moving up to, say, let's the fourth overall pick in the draft. I think Arizona's there.
Yeah.
To move all the way up there to secure J.J. McCarthy, and that's with the assumption that he doesn't go third overall. It's like, dude, you don't have a lot of draft capital. That might be on the heels of what Broncos country has been through. If they do that, part of me would love it. Hey, go get your guy.
Yeah.
Identify and go get your guy. Be aggressive. But if it doesn't work out because you can't get to three, and the Patriots, say, draft him at third overall, it would be the risk involved. And without the risk, there's no reward. But goodness, there is no path that's available for Denver that reflects the tone from Sean Payton a month ago.
See, I'm going to do the opposite. Can you replay that, Zach?
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. And then sometimes, listen, it's very difficult. And so I think we'll be really good at this. And I think to some degree, we're glad that a lot of people aren't.
See, I'm getting a different vibe. The vibe I'm getting now that, you know, all the smoke is gone with that whole situation from the beginning when we were talking about it to now and what has been going on is everybody is thinking that Sean Payton is in on one of these top quarterbacks or J.J. McCarthy. But he's making it sound like they know something that other people don't know about a quarterback that people are just kind of brushing through, like a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix Jr. or somebody like Michael Pratt, somebody that people are not really looking at. And that's where he's saying that we're good at what we do because we're not going to sit here and go for the bait. We're not going to bite the bait of what everybody wants us to do with this J.J. McCarthy or this, you know, Drake May. But there's a couple quarterbacks sitting here that are better than these that we're going to be able to get in a lower draft, or, you know, in the second round, third round, or, you know, lower in the first round. And I think that's the tone of a confident coach that knows that, like, I know who I want. It's not going to be what everybody is thinking, and it's going to work out for me. That's what I'm getting.
Maybe you're right. And if that's what it is, this does take a certain level of trust in Sean. For better or for worse, like, there's no one else that has their hands on the steering wheel of the Denver Broncos football operation like Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. And if that is his approach, then you just sort of cross your fingers. Maybe he does see something in one of those guys that no one else sees to take him, you know, when, I mean, because he said, you listen to all this noise, and he said, I'm unbothered, was his word. He goes, I'm unbothered with who people tell me, what draft experts tell me I should pick.
And tell me this, when he was doing this draft interviews, every quarterback said it was a good interview.
Outside of maybe Michael Penix, who was like,
ding, ding,
man,
ding.
They made it tough.
Ding, ding, ding. Why was his the only one that was tough?
Mm.
Why was his the only one that he had to go through some kind of criticism, and why they sat there and asked him different questions, uncomfortable questions? Why was he the only one that came out and said, my interview was a little tough?
Yeah.
That indicates a lot of stuff right there, too, because they know he's a good quarterback. But what they want to know is, why is everybody else down and out on him other than the injuries? Why did you make these bad plays right here? How do you interact? How do you react when I come at you saying that this was a sucky play? Like, what are the body language? What's the body language?
Yeah.
So that's something that you may want to look at as someone like Michael Penix Jr. being drafted, because it's like little clues like that. It's like,
yeah.
Why was his so much harder
right.
than someone like JJ McCarthy? Oh, it was so great.
Maybe they tried to replicate like a real world conversation following a game of like, this is what we'd be in store for.
Maybe.
Explain this throw to me. Makes no sense. You know, yeah. and seeing how he reacts. Very interesting. Very interesting. Or the opposite, that Sean Payton is playing the game. He's playing the draft game, and he's going to draft, and this will make some people sick, but he's going to draft the best offensive football player for a guy like Jarrett Stidham.
Ooh, I got the shakes on that one. It wasn't a good shake.
1 week ago today, we talked about some of the offshore odds that had the most likely starter for the Denver Broncos at 1-1, Jarrett Stidham. And the next available was 3-1, any rookie. And it's like, okay, Sean has some cockiness about him, and if he genuinely believes in Jarrett Stidham, could he be as unbothered by people's opinion on Jarrett Stidham as he would be on people's opinion on whatever quarterback he liked in the draft? And it's like, I'm going to go draft Brock Bowers, and we're going to put Jarrett Stidham in the best possible position to be successful. And I know that sounds crazy to some people, but Sean has, I heard Stokely use the word like delusional at times. It's like, he just may love who he loves, and that's what it is.
Well, if that's the case, then go get another quarterback to go behind Jarrett Stidham then. You would think that, right? Like, at least, because if something happens to Jarrett Stidham, we got Ben DiNucci, because you're saying you're going to draft this Brock Bowers, that means that you're hoping someone like Michael Penix or Bo Nix is sitting right there, Michael Pratt, which you probably still would draft. But if your eggs are all in one basket on Jarrett Stidham, and I can see it happening, Zach, because when's the last time that Sean has started a rookie quarterback?
Just one time during COVID.
So I can see it happen. He feels more comfortable with, you know, Jarrett Stidham, Sparky.
Yeah.
Because he's played in games.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be something if in Sean Payton's own mind's eye, if he's watching Michael Penix Jr., he's watching Bo Nix, he's watching fill in the blank. And I mean of the available guys, not the top three, of like, Stidham's better than him. Stidham's better than him. Oh, Spencer Rattler? Stidham's better than them. And you just, with Sean, you just never know. So, but the Fields thing from over the weekend with Pittsburgh, that was...
bizarre.
Dude, the Pittsburgh flipped their quarterback room from Kenny Pickett, Mitchell Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph into Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and it cost them a 6-round pick and $1 million. That's wild.
So they got two quarterbacks on the roster, two pretty good quarterbacks on the roster, Zach, for like $2 million.
Yeah. It's the ultimate.
That's crazy.
It's the ultimate playing chess while others are playing checkers. Because guess what? If Russell doesn't work out in Pittsburgh, it doesn't matter. If Justin Fields doesn't work out in Pittsburgh, it doesn't matter. The investment, the risk reward, there's only upside. For an NFL team, if they miss out on $1.2 million, a 6-round draft pick next year?
And they've been winning. They've been a winning organization.
And that's why.
They do smart things, yeah.
What do you make of the report that Russell will not compete for the job, that he's already the starter?
I think that's a lie. I think it's a lie. I think it's to stroke Russ's ego. I think that they told Justin Fields something completely different, saying, hey, in the public, we have to do this. But just know, this is an open competition, and the better player is going to play. If you go out there and you show us that you're a starting quarterback, you will win the job. And what better way to stroke Russ's ego is to let him think he's the quarterback and then go to camp. Let everybody see, because everybody will be there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Hard Knocks wants to be there at this point.
Sure. But Pittsburgh was a playoff team this past year.
They can't.
Yeah, can't do it.
So, but if he goes in there and he truly beats out Russ, then it gives him an excuse. Look, you just gotten beat out. We told you you're the starting quarterback. You're going to get every opportunity to be our starting quarterback.
Right.
And yet you still couldn't beat out Justin Fields.
Right.
That's what happens.
Right. And that's what's going on in New York, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is.
With Drew Lock.
Drew Lock smiling right now because Drew Lock knows he has an opportunity to be that starting quarterback because they don't want Daniel Jones. They paid that man, and they want to already get rid of him. And Drew Lock would have never signed to the New York Giants. Why would you? You're on $5 million. You're in New York. The taxes are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing that when you could have went back to Seattle and got the same? Because they were going to pay him $5 million again.
Yeah.
Why?
But it was John Schneider out there in Seattle who said they convinced him that he could be a part of the starting picture.
He's not lying.
And you're probably right. You're probably right. This is the line that we're going with in March. But in August, it's kind of an open competition. And there's no way Fields would want to be in Pittsburgh. And they did right by him. They talked about that ad nauseum. Yeah. We want to do it. So maybe they even got a better offer from someone else with a less advantageous situation. And they took Fields into account and sent him I don't know how it all worked out.
What about Sean? Do you think Sean has promised Stedham something? Do you think Sean, because Stedham said that he thinks that he'll be the starting quarterback.
He did say that.
You know, he was confident, right?
You're good memory.
I wish we could get that to audio.
He did say something to that effect after the season.
Yeah, he was confident about, like, I feel like I'm going to be the starter next year.
I bet I'm sure Sean didn't promise anything, but I could see something like, if you do everything that I think that you're capable of doing, you're going to have a great chance to be our starter. Kind of like that, like leaving it open-ended.
I can see that.
But Fields and Russ, whew, who has a better chance to play more games? I'm just putting it on the spot.
Yeah.
Fields in Pittsburgh overtaking Russ or Drew Lock in New York overtaking Daniel Jones?
That's a hard one, man, because the Giants does not want Daniel Jones to do well. They want someone like Drew Lock to beat him out so they can get rid of him. I still think that the Giants want Drew Lock to beat out Daniel Jones. I think that they want Russell Wilson to be the quarterback over there. I do. And they want someone like Justin Fields to be under Russ for at least a year, then get Justin Fields back for cheaper, unless Justin doesn't want to be there, but he falls in love with the organization. Because remember, Justin decided to pick Pittsburgh. There was a couple other suitors for Justin that he declined. He wanted to come to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Why was that?
Yeah.
Why do you want to come to Pittsburgh so bad?
Well, probably the same reason that we thought it was the best fit for Russ. Great running game, great defense, established coach, established culture. Don't have to do the heavy lifting that Russ was asked to do here in 2022 or Fields was asked to do at the start of his career in Chicago. You just sort of play a role.
But he knows Russ is there, though.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, but what if he just knows what I know about Russ and that Russ can't play anymore?
Or what they've told him. Why would he sign if they didn't tell him something?
Yeah. Gave him some sort of bait.
Something. Saying, hey, you're going to end up being our guy by week 6. After the Denver Broncos game.
I'll tell you what. You want to see a hated person? If Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback of the Steelers and gives Mike Tomlin his first losing season.
Oh. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
and that fan base, see, if Russ has got to play fantastic.
But if Russ gets benched, that's not on him.
No. No,
so
no.
He might want to get benched.
Still, if Russ gets benched, his career as a starter will simply be over.
Oh, man, this is a lot.
Was he going to go to a fourth team in four years?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. But think about the quarterback market, though, Zach. Like, there's never no quarterbacks out there that are intriguing. If Russell Wilson's sitting out there, somebody's going to pick him up.
If it was just the player, Russ, he'd get picked up. Russ comes with extra stuff, man. This guy, Russell Wilson, man. This guy, Russell Wilson. I'm like listening to his press conference. And
look at you talking.
Oh, my gosh. Russ. Let's get a little snippet. Russ talking about his blip on the radar in Denver.
If I were to look back at it all so far, you know, I've been on the winning side a lot of it. And some people haven't, some people have, you know, it's, and so you look at it and it's just, you don't get so pinpoint on just one moment or one play or two plays or 2 years or whatever it is. You look at the whole grand scope of it all. And I think that when you paint in the picture of what your career looks like at the end, you know, hopefully you're able to paint the beautiful picture that you always imagined. And sometimes the best stuff, there's bumps and bruises along the way.
All right. Well, the greater picture does paint something positive for us here in Denver. It was just the boot bruises that he was talking about at the end. I mean, that was.
Well, we're in even more bruises now. We're getting beat. There's no other quarterbacks that want to come here, man. That's what it's looking like. We were in a battle for Sam Darnold. The Vikings and us were battling for Sam Darnold, who hasn't even played in a whole year.
No matter what, like, I'd love to go back.
No, you don't, Russ. No, you don't.
God almighty. There's two things happening in Pittsburgh that don't make sense to me. The anointing him the starter ahead of time and not having an open competition in camp. Even though we both agree it kind of will be a competition, but announcing it way in advance, I don't get that. And the other thing I don't like, and this is wild, but this is coming from Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He said Russell Wilson signed a one-year contract with the Steelers for the vet minimum because the Broncos were paying him $39 million in 2024. But Wilson and the Steelers intend to do a longer deal at the end of the season, per sources. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do. I think that if Russ does well and he wins 10 or 11 games, Zach, why would you not want to have him back? Now, if he doesn't do well, well, you're in good hands no matter what.
I just don't understand why you would announce that in advance. Let's see how it goes. As a fan base who paid Russ with 2 years, it's like, just take it as it goes, fellas. Like, let history be your guy. Just see how it goes this year. Why are you announcing a contract in advance?
I agree with you on that. I don't know why you would jump the gun on Russ after he just stole from Denver.
God almighty.
Let's steal.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm very confident that I can, you know, be the guy for us next year.
Oh, that's Stidham. That's Stidham. Okay, good pull, KJ.
Oh, Sparky.
All right, we'll see how it all shakes out here.
Better be confident.
Goodness. All right. Is something special developing right in front of our eyes? That's the way it's starting to feel like. I'll tell you who and why next.
Take her to Wendy's. Can't keep her off me. She wanna dip me like them fries in her frosty.
Is something special developing right in front of our eyes? That's what it's starting to feel like. Talking about Colorado Avalanche. Another signature win.
Another one.
On the road
again.
Against another fantastic opponent. Against another MVP candidate, MVP caliber player who's in the mix damn near every single year in Connor McDavid.
They're going back and forth right now. Well, they were. I don't know how it is now.
Yeah, I can double check us here in a second. But another overtime win. Another road win. I mean, Phil, there are probably 5, 6, maybe 7 things that you could point to with the Avs right now that may not have been the case a month, 2 months ago that are tangible. You could see it, feel it, measure it, that they have going for them right now.
Oh, you can definitely feel it. Zach, are the Colorado Avalanche the team to beat? Are they scary right now? Are they the scariest team?
They're scary right now.
And they did something great by going and getting, you know, couple new guys, some depth players, and you got Casey Mittelstadt and Sean Walker.
Man.
I mean, 2 goals and almost had a hat trick.
Yeah, he almost did.
Almost. It was so close.
So close. In overtime. Yeah, and now you're talking about like a 6-game winning streak. That's the longest of the season. They're tied for it anyway. You got to go back to mid to late October. I mean, you're talking about, you mentioned the new guys, Sean Walker, Casey Mittelstadt. Holy jumping. They feel like seamless fits.
Peanut butter and jelly. That's what it looks like right now. They just fit so well in this system, and they're playing their role, doing the part that they have to do. Casey Mittelstadt, to me, he's, you know, elite passer. And at times, I feel like he gets pass happy, but I think that he's just trying to find his groove.
Yeah, I was going to say he's new too, and probably he's like acquiescing to dudes who have, you know what I mean? Like if you're new and you have an opportunity to shoot it or pass it, it's like, you know what I mean? And
you don't want to be that guy.
And you're on a great team now. So it's like, I think that could be part of it.
Yeah, yeah, which is great. I mean, he brings something that, you know, we were missing, especially at a number two center.
Yeah.
And then Sean Walker's playing, you know, on the defensive side of the puck, ice. He's doing a great job. I mean, he fits the system well.
Yeah, I full cosign. I mean, again, the two goals, nearly had that hat trick in overtime. Shout out to Lehkonen. I mean, it's the latest goal of, I don't know how you could get later. I mean, scoring with 0.5 left on the clock. It's a zero point. The game is over. And they somehow,
us.
You know, McKinnon to Lehkonen. And shoot, we even had the new guys team up earlier in the game with an assist and a goal.
Yeah, Casey Minnesota assisted to Sean Walker. They were getting in on the booty.
I love it. I love it. Georgiev. I mean, we had real questions about the goaltending situation 1 month ago.
I questioned it. I even asked Drew at one time, hey, Onanen, Georgiev, you know, should there be a competition going on with him? But Georgiev is stepping his game up, and I think it's because of Onanen, which is great. You know, when you have somebody on your heels or doing better than you, you never want nobody doing better than you, especially in the same position as you.
Right.
So, you know, it makes you step your game up a little bit.
Well, Georgiev was awesome on Saturday night. Stopped 32 of 34 shots. The two that found the back of the net, it wasn't just on Georgie there. He had a massive stop on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, a breakaway in overtime. And you look at him in the past, like 13, 15 games or so, Georgie's been great. And then, you know, you get told, you know, how often that Connor McDavid, you know, best player in the world. And he had a 26-game home point streak. It was snapped on Saturday night. His running mate, one of the 10 best players in the world as well, Leon Draisaitl, 0 points. And it's just like the high-flying Oilers at home were able to score two on Colorado. And just the energy around the team feels right. And Bednar talked about it after the game.
It's a different group for us now. Like, right, we've added all these players, and we have a little bit different personality. Guys are re-energized after the trade deadline. New guys coming in, and we're still sort of finding, you know, how the pieces all fit together.
Well, they're finding it all right. They're finding it, and it's really, really fun to watch. And
he said re-energized.
Yeah.
Happy.
Yeah.
I wonder who he's talking to in that situation. Bo Byram, or is it Ryan Johansson that they let go?
Yeah.
I wonder if they're talking about both of them or someone like Ryan Johansson that seemed to may have issues at the end here.
Yeah, I think it's mainly that one. Okay. I think everyone liked Bo. But I'll tell you what, the defense is just as good, if not better, since...
Yeah, I would say better. I would say better, Zach.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
McKinnon, but shout out Bo.
Yeah, he's doing great in Buffalo, and I'm sure, you know, best of luck to him. But it was time to turn the page, and you got Nathan McKinnon extending his point streak to 15 games. That's tied for the third longest streak in the NHL this season, 15 consecutive games. He has the number one longest at 19. So McKinnon has the longest streak, and he is as the third longest streak currently. And so you can point to a lot, Phil, between McKinnon's steady play to a Val back in the fold and paying dividends immediately to the newcomers, Sean Walker and Casey Mittelstadt, just fitting in seamlessly. Georgie finding his own way here during the year. Just a lot of good energy. You're talking about winning six in a row. That's hard to do. Winning three in a row on the road. That's hard to do. They win tomorrow night in St. Louis. You're talking about sweeping a road trip. It's freaking, this is pro hockey, man.
I love it. I love it. We didn't even talk about Val. So when Val's on his A game as well, man, this is going to be scary.
Yeah.
Avs are turning around in a great way at the right time, especially on the road. Because, Zach, do we only have like four games on the road left?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Something like that. We don't have that many more road games. And then we're going to be at home. That's scary.
That's scary, too. And you just pointed out the seventh thing as we go through of like McKinnon and Val and the newcomers and Georgie. And it's the road-home splits was concerning, you know, this time 3-4 weeks ago. And I know, you know, hockey fans will tell you, hey, it matters less than hockey. And I understand that. But it was pretty damn glaring. Mm. Like, they really, after starting 4-0 on the road, they were below average. And they have rounded out into form there. So let me just see how many road games left here as well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 total left in the season.
Okay.
So,
man, we're coming down to the end.
We
huh?
are. We are. We are.
First year almost in the books.
Yep.
Rookie year.
Yeah, your rookie year. That's right. That's right. Okay. What are we looking for tonight? And what kind of week will it be in Colorado sports? Here's a hint. Buckle up. Take a dive into it next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil. I
got five. All right, what are we looking for tonight? Well, you're kind of going to have to look hard. Because this is going to be one of the wildest weeks in Denver sports recent memory. But tonight, it's kind of dry. We got Will Peterson in the building. He's going to take over with Denver sports tonight here in just a few minutes. We got Richie Carney behind the glass making his return to the microphone. We got Kamaje in his regular spot. We got Phil. I'm curious. Now, hold on. Real quick, let's set the table for the week. It's going to be insane. Tomorrow night, Avalanche at the St. Louis Blues. If they win, they'll have the longest winning streak of the season. You got the Nuggets against the Timberwolves in what could be one of the most impactful games in terms of the number one seed and everything like that remaining in the season. You have Colorado State kicking off the NCAA tournament. Wednesday, CU is kicking off their NCAA tournament. Thursday, the NCAA tournament in its full version kicks off. I mean, this is going to be crazy, but tonight? So let's get weird. Like, seriously, what are you guys actually going to do tonight? What are you going to watch tonight, Phil? What, man. Are you on, like, the Sorcerer's Stone? Or where are you at with Harry Potter and the rewatch?
We still have to finish it, but yesterday we were watching American Idol.
Okay.
Because my little family and my wife's parents, we do like a little draft and we'll pick, right? And whoever gets, you know, the first round pick gets to pick the first singer that they feel like is gonna win it all.
Sure.
And so whoever gets the winner gets like $100.
Okay.
Right? So we've been watching, I've been drafting, doing the Sean Payton way, kind of sitting back.
Doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you know, have a couple coffees.
Yeah.
Sitting back, waiting. So, you know, we're going to probably watch American Idol tonight again.
Okay, I like it. Will Peterson, what goes on in the life of Will Peterson? What are you wearing today?
What vacation we're going on.
All right, man. I got jeans on.
No, you went out of your way, and you buttoned the top button. That's purposeful. Will, what are you going to be up to tonight?
There's some trashy reality TV on tonight. I'm going to save that for my guy Richie Carney because I think I know where he's going. I will be watching Timberwolves Jazz. Because in all seriousness, Minnesota plays tonight on the road in Utah ahead of that big game tomorrow night. I think it would be key if the Jazz can pull this off. They're only 4.5-point dogs.
Okay.
So don't think that this is going to be some blowout just because the Jazz aren't that good. If they can beat the Timberwolves tonight, and then you can go beat the Timberwolves tomorrow night, now you're putting a little space between yourselves. And I know everyone's talking about the one seed. One seed would be great. I want the 2 seed at a minimum, though, because that's two rounds of home court advantage.
Yeah, right.
So even if the Thunder take the 1, you still got to finish ahead of Minnesota.
And
make sure you get that, too.
And if you get to the Western Conference Finals, that's assuming that you're not going to have home court advantage because Oklahoma City's there.
Right.
Oklahoma City's never won a playoff series. They have to win multiple for that home court to kick in if you finish 1-2. So, yeah, be the 2 seed. Oklahoma City, if they're there, you'll figure it out. And if you're not, you're hosting.
You'll host against the Clippers, most likely.
Yeah.
So go get the 2 seed. Go Jazz tonight.
Okay. Richie Carney. What do we got going on tonight?
Well, Will's Missouri education was pointing him in the right direction. I am definitely leaning toward trashy reality TV tonight. It's Bachelor Night.
Okay.
And it's the women tell-all.
Oh, no.
Claws are coming out.
Love that.
Sydney and Leah versus Maria. It's going to get real.
Catfight.
Where are they at in the real competition? So women tell-all usually comes before, like, the final episode?
Yeah, we're down to, like, the final couple weeks here. Wow. So they just did the fantasy suites. Last week,
yep.
So everything that fantasy involved there, and then we do the tell-all, and then he's got a pick now, basically, after this.
Yeah, the fantasy suite period of Bachelor, I swear to God, is a human experiment carried out by, like, aliens who want to see,
yeah, there's,
like,
lab rats and stuff, 100%.
Yeah. Kamaje Granderson, what are you going to be watching tonight?
I am going to be watching Grizzlies Kings. The reason that is significant is because if for some weird reason the Nuggets can't get the number one seed, the Kings are sitting right there. They're right there. So we know that if they don't want to face the Kings or if they don't want to face the Pelicans, the Nuggets have to continue to fight towards getting that number one seed. So I am intrigued to see, can the Grizzlies, with that G League squad, give the Nuggets the help that they didn't even know that they needed tonight?
All right, I got to throw a challenge flag here.
Ooh.
Will says he's watching, what did you say you're watching?
Timberwolves Jazz.
And Kamaje says he's watching Memphis Sacramento. I just don't believe you guys. I just don't believe you're going to be sitting down watching these games. I think you're going to be doing something else that you don't want to share.
I was honest. I told you exactly what I'm going
to
be doing.
And yeah, you're going to Smutville. I love it. Bring on the junk.
But I thought this was like what we're keeping an eye on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That doesn't mean I'm not looking who gets the rose while also refreshing.
Yeah, we're not going to be texting.
Timberwolves.
I like this. I think you'll just pull up the final score.
I have it on good authority, too, that Drew, who's not here right now, but would rather watch wet paint dry slowly than anything non-sports related, is probably going to find himself flipping through Oregon State GCU women's softball later on this afternoon.
Drew is just like sports. What happened? Where'd Drew go? He just like left.
You know, it'd be kids.
Drew's good for three quarters.
He's like Bones Highland. Just goes home when he wants to? Like, what are we doing here?
MPJ at his worst, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
It's just...
You making Drew fly commercial to the next show?
Remember they did that with Bones?
Yes.
Did you know that, Phil? They didn't let Bones come on the team plane. They were so mad at him.
Oh,
they said, we're going to New Orleans. You can go fly Southwest C-43. Meet us down there, Bones.
And then he got traded to the Clippers, and he posted that photo.
Where it's good to be appreciated.
Yeah, he goes, this is how they treat you when they love you. Like, are you sure, Bones? Because you play like 4 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Where are you going to Maui? I heard you're going to Maui or something.
Oh, man.
Quick thought on
nothing on the calendar, Phil.
quick thought on NCAA tournament or Nuggets yesterday, national TV.
Well, what are you watching?
Oh, what am I watching? Oh,
I mean, if you're gonna give us all black on what we're watching,
all right,
challenge
plan. Yeah, we're gonna do bath time with the 5-year-old, 2-year-old, gonna put him to bed about 8 o'clock. Gonna have a quick little meeting with my wife, we'll state of the union at the Bai household. I'm going to pour me a little cocktail, a little Monday cocktail, and I am going to watch the biography on A&E of Diamond Dallas Page.
I knew it was going to be something wrestling. I thought you were going to go in the Peacock archives.
Oh, man, the Peacock.
They got the documentaries on Sunday nights. I got it recorded. Then the rest of the week will be sports, man.
Yeah.
So this is like the time you got something to do, you do it. Will, looking forward to the ride home, listening to you and Andrew Mason, right? Denver sports tonight. Lots to talk about. What's going on in Pittsburgh is fascinating.
No doubt.
It's fascinating. And Phil, you want to come back and do this again tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, man. We got a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do. And already have some good stuff in the chamber for tomorrow, ready to fire. All right, we're going to leave it there for now. Thanks for making us a small part of your Monday. It's Denver sports tonight with Will Peterson and Andrew Mason coming up next.